This is Twit.
Huawei. Or as many people call it, Huawei. I always love it when we get, when I hear on, you know, people, oh, this Chinese company, Huawei, the president has signed an executive order declaring a national emergency. He likes to do that. I don't know why it's a national emergency, but suddenly it is, prohibiting U.S. companies from using telecom services that are solely owned, controlled, or directed by a foreign adversary, which includes Huawei. Huawei's been in the spotlight since 2012, I think, when the Department of Commerce said, be careful with Huawei, ZTE, and Xiaomi. They're all Chinese companies. People have pointed to the ownership of Huawei. It seems no one can really be sure who owns it. Huawei says, we're owned by our employees, but without much proof. And certainly,
well, also, in Huawei's case, the founder was in the People's Liberation Army. So yeah. the implication is that he still has ties to the PLA. And I think also that's part of the story, too. So, okay. I go ahead and finish the intro, and then I'll jump in.
No. I mean, I think that's enough. I think we've been talking about this for a while. My position on this is, I'm a little on the fence because it does seem like it's part of a political, it's part of the Chinese tariffs, the kind of the political tenor.
So,
and we've never seen evidence that Huawei is doing anything. Huawei says we've never done anything. Show us
that's
the proof.
Exactly what I was going to say. So, you know, I mentioned that we're doing the weekend episodes now. And so last weekend I had Dexter Tillian on, who's a telecoms analyst, I think in London, because I've been reading these headlines. And I'm like, so what is this Huawei? I'd never heard of them. And now all of a sudden, you know, there's that huge trade war that they're at the center of. And the three things that I learned were, A, like you just said, one of the reasons that other countries are not willing to ban Huawei is because, and even the British and the Germans have said this apparently straight up, like if there is intelligence that Huawei is spying and is too close to the Chinese government, the United States government has not shown us that. Like maybe we'd be willing to get on board with this banning, but we haven't seen the proof. And again, I'm not an expert in this, and Dexter is more than I am. And he said, yes, as far as I know, there is no smoking gun. Now, that doesn't mean if there was some sort of a conflict or a war, maybe China wouldn't lean on Huawei and be like, you know, maybe shut this or that down. But then the U.S. has been able to do that for years. So is part of this just somebody else can do the thing that it was implicit that we could always do. But the two things, aside from that there's no actual proof that anyone seems to know of, that there are these close connections. The second thing is how come they're the only ones basically that can do 5G? And they're not. There's also
Ericsson does it, Nokia does it, Samsung does it. But
the problem is,
number one is Huawei by far.
They're number one. They have the most 5G patents. And then what happened is over the last 10 years or so, it's classic. They come in and they do it cheaper and better. So if you're Vietnam, if you're India, if you're Argentina, and you got to dial up a national 5G network, not only is the company that will do it for you the best Huawei, it's also the cheapest. So if the U.S. leans on all these other countries like they're trying to do to say, no, don't use them, it doesn't make economic sense. And then the third thing was that, you know, I said, well, how come they're the only ones left standing? Like, and Dexter said, well, it's like whatever became of Motorola, whatever became of Lucent, Alcatel. He's like, yeah, it's just over the last 20 years, it's everything has shifted to where, while no one was paying attention, this Chinese company came up from below and can now is the best at doing the technology that is, as everyone tells us, the key to the next generation of tech.
I should also point out, this is going to be a big on the other hand segment, that much of Huawei's 5G switching gear is software bound. And so when it was just hardware, you could look at it and say, well, this is okay, it's not phoning home. But once it's software, and it's getting regular updates, anything could happen. And if you're a Chinese company, I wonder how much freedom, even if you're not owned by the Chinese government, I wonder how much freedom you have if the Chinese government came to Huawei and said, okay, we'd like you to put this in your firmware. Could they say no? But I notice we don't say it's just Huawei. We don't say ZTE. We don't say Xiaomi. We don't, I mean.
OnePlus.
OnePlus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And most of our gear is made in China, so I'm sure Foxconn would have the same problem if the Chinese government said, hey.
According to Dexter, it is the way that Huawei in the late 80s, early 90s, I think that's the timeline, got off the ground is their first contract was with the PLA. So in the late 80s, early
90s. People's Liberation Army.
Yes. So when the Chinese army says we need our own national network, telecoms network for security purposes, it's Huawei that gets that contract and delivers. And then there have been these whispers behind the scenes that why does Huawei have apparently this access to unlimited capital in certain instances to win certain contracts. And so people are assuming that then that's because.
Why do you think Chinese it's so government. Cheap?
Right.
Well, the other shoe dropped today because Google, according to Reuters, and this is not yet confirmed, at least not as of press time, as if we had presses, as of press time. But apparently, Reuters says Google has suspended business with Huawei, will no longer update Android phones made by Huawei. That's not a concern inside China because, of course, Google doesn't do business in China. So those phones are not, you know, they're open source Android, but they're not using Google apps. And furthermore, Huawei phones will lose Google apps, Google services, including the Play Store and YouTube apps. That is a big penalty. And by the way, the Huawei phones are beloved in the United States. You can't buy them, you know, from a phone company, but people like Paul Thurrott of Windows Weekly, he loves his Huawei.
I was just going to make that point. I mean, about a year and a half ago when Huawei took the stage at CES and was supposed to have this great AT&T deal to announce, they didn't. And then Richard Yu, their consumer business group executive, sort of went off script and said, we think this is really bad because U.S. consumers don't have access to the best choice, which at the time was their Mate 10 Pro they were announcing.
They were pissed because basically it was the United States government that went to AT&T and said, it would be foolish of you to sell this phone. And so they pulled out.
And AT&T exhibiting its usual, I forgot what the NSA memo said, it's unusual cooperativeness or something, was like, oh yeah, okay, fine. But my thing is,
you can pretty much count on them to be cooperative, usually.
Yeah. But at the time, I was like, well, the Mate 10 Pro is fine, but I don't think it's the big loss to U.S. consumers that Huawei said it was. And then what they did over the next year was build two of the most impressive and innovative, from a hardware standpoint, smartphones I had ever used. And now, you know, I mean, it's the cameras, from the cameras to the reverse wireless charging that we saw Samsung do, to the weird material finishes. They're wonderful phones. And now to see this develop is really a shame, because if it goes through, they won't even work if you import them, or they won't work.
Well, you
like
won't.
Any
no
other
one
Android
will
phone.
Want an Android phone that has no Google services on it.
Exactly.
That's a non-starter. Right? These phones have Leica cameras in them. They have 4,000 milliamp hour batteries. I have a P20, which I guess I won't use anymore. But even more to the point, no more security updates. It means you really, you know, this is not a phone to buy. We can't recommend this phone.
But that's the other point. They actually haven't, as far as I can tell, brought the full hammer down yet, where a U.S. company cannot do business. Remember, they did that with ZTE for a while and then dialed it back. Was it ZTE? Anyway.
Yeah, it was.
Forget about the software, Leo, like they won't be able to manufacture their phones. And there's articles that have come out about, you know, Huawei's been stockpiling components and stuff like that. But if they can't do business with U.S. component providers, like, they can't manufacture a modern smartphone. It's almost the reverse of what we're saying. Like, you can't do a 5G network without Huawei.
Huawei says in anticipation of this, they've been stockpiling American parts, but others are unconvinced. The head of Huawei's high silicon chip division Friday shrugged off concerns about disruptions to supply, saying it has long been preparing for this kind of extreme scenario. They will aim to be technologically self-reliant going forward. Industry experts say that's going to be a stretch. It's hard to. Isn't that funny? You if you ask somebody, what do you think the key components for the Huawei phone are? Where do they come from? You wouldn't say U.S., but that's what's different about the world today. It isn't just a Chinese phone. Nothing. Your car is not just a German car or a Japanese car. It's a global economy. So, you know, if there's a security issue, and you could certainly see that it might be prudent to say, well, let's not build our national infrastructure, particularly critical infrastructure, on products from a Chinese company that could at any point pull the plug.
But then they should state that it might not be smart, not that they, you know, believe that there's something nefarious that's happening. Well, and the timing of taking such a big competitor out of the market.
Isn't, though, that the government's job if they see a cyber, not that they do that job in other cases, but if they see a cyber threat, as long as it's not Russia.
If they see a cyber threat, they should state that this is what the cyber threat is. And if it's that they think that this would just be safer, they should be honest and transparent and say, we just think this would be a better way to make sure that it's all American made so that we have control over that. The thing is saying there's a threat than giving no proof and really creating, again, like you hear something enough, you believe that it's true without any proof that's kind of behind it. That makes us, you know, think twice even about what the government then tells us.